This podcast is featured on the Gun Rights Radio Network, podcasting freedom.
Cowboy T here. We have reached episode 10. Welcome. This is a particularly special episode for me for one major reason. My dad was out here visiting for the presidential inauguration a couple of weeks ago. It's always good to see Dad. This is the man I keep talking about who's alive today because he had his gun. Were it not for that, you wouldn't be hearing his voice today. Yes, we had him on the show, and it was an honor. I promised it to you earlier, and now, here it is. By the way, you may notice a change in intro music for this special episode. Normally we use It's All Right With Me from my dad's album. This time, we used one of his favorite tunes, You Are My Sunshine. He and I are playing together on it, with him on piano and myself on drums. Of course, for all you copyright cops out there, all music is used by his permission. Now, as you'd expect of any two human beings, he and I agree on some things and we don't on others. You will hear that. Here on the Liberals Gun Corner, we will, at times, present ideas which I may not necessarily share. Why would I do that? Well, unlike our so-called quote-unquote news stations, I do believe in a diversity of ideas. And this is especially true when they come from a man who has 80 years of wisdom and who taught me how to be a man. Along with other subjects, you will hear his view on quote-unquote military-style rifles today. Next episode, I'll present my views on that same subject, and you, the listeners, can decide which makes more sense to you, whatever that may be. With that, let's begin the show. The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud member of the Gun Rights Radio Network. Hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun here, folks. Just got back from the presidential inauguration yesterday, and got to say that was bit of a special treat, not so much because of going down to D.C., but rather because of who was with me. My dad is here in town, and so we went down there. This was indeed a historic moment, and it was really good to be able to have him there to see this moment. How you doing there, Dad?
Just fine, son, and I really appreciate you having me here with you. Thank you very much, and I love you dearly.
That is Cowboy T. Senior, if you will, C. Terrell Perday Senior. One of the things that we've been talking about while we've been hanging out is Second Amendment issues. He's become familiar with the show, and I wanted to ask him some stuff. You know, what he thought as a fellow liberal and a black man, and my dad, and the guy who's been trying to get me to permit to carry for a couple of decades before I finally woke up and realized it. So we have him here on the show, Dad. You've been around a long time.
A little bit.
Yeah. Been traveling. You're on the road for years and years. And
yes.
God knows some of the things you've run into. You probably haven't told me every last thing that you've run into.
No, not everything, but I've told you quite a bit.
Yeah. Let's briefly mention this terrible thing up in Connecticut. You know that school shooting up there?
Oh, that was just terrible.
Oh, it was.
That was awful.
We talked about that last month on the show, and I think all we can do is pray for those families.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, tell me, what do you think of a couple of the proposals there that they've got? I'll just go over them real quick for our listeners. One of the ideas that was come up with was to have more armed cops in the schools. Another was to arm the teachers, the principals, the grown folks, basically. Yet another was to allow anybody with a permit to carry to go into a school armed, and yet another is to start banning things. I don't know how much thought you've given to those ideas, but what do you think?
Well, let's start with the first one.
Okay.
Give me the first one.
Okay, the first one was more cops in schools.
I don't think that would be a very, very good thing to do because schools are not a prison, and the more cops you see, then it makes it sound like looks like the kids are in danger all the time. It sounds like they're running from the police. They're running from crime. It's not a good thing. If you're going to have police there, it would rather be them plain clothes police. It's walking around look just like normal citizens instead of the uniform cops, which I know the people they see uniform cops, they're automatically, you know, will scoot and so forth and so on. But if they know there's plain clothes there, they don't know which one is the cop and which one isn't. So they're in more greater danger of being caught then, and it'll be easier for the cop to catch him because he can walk up to him. So I'm not for the uniform cops, but I wouldn't go against, say, plainclothes cops, because our children have to be protected. They're our future, and without them, we have nothing. So, yes, I believe in that. I would go along with that.
Okay. How about the staff members being allowed to carry?
I don't think the teachers should be carrying guns in classroom. That sets a bad example for the children. Because if they see their teacher carrying a gun, they're going to say, well, hey, dad, mom, if the teacher carry a gun, why can't I carry one? And the teacher's supposed to be teaching them the good way of life, not to be scared or not to think about killing somebody. So, no, I don't agree with the teachers carrying weapons.
And that it would include the principal, for example?
The principal, he can have a weapon in his office. Mm-hmm. Or if he had a weapon on him, he would have to be highly concealed.
Okay. The reason I ask about the particular point of the principal is because it turns out that the principal of that school in Connecticut, Newtown, Connecticut, Sandy Hook Elementary is his name. She was the first, I understand, to confront that criminal.
Yeah. Well, she may have been the first to confront him.
Yeah.
But for the principal to carry a weapon, for a lady to carry a weapon, it's hard to conceal unless she's wearing a certain type of clothing. But I would not be against the principal of being able to have a weapon there and conceal also under the circumstances. That it would be for protection of the staff as well as the children. But not everybody in the school walking around with a gun. No, I do not. I definitely do not believe in that. Because kids have a way of finagling, getting your attention away from you, and could actually take your gun and you not know it, playing with you, bumping into you, all sorts of excuses. Now they've got a weapon in their hand and they turn around and start firing it. No, I don't believe that the teacher should carry. But the principal, yes, that would be okay.
Okay. So I guess that answers the third question of those who have, say, a concealed permit, being able to go into a school,
there's
parents
a lot of,
and such.
Yes, well, there's a lot of us parents that have weapons, concealed weapon permits, such as myself. I don't believe that should be carried into the school just in general. No, because it's the same thing there again. Here comes my dad, he's got a gun. The child knows that. Here comes my mom, she's got a gun. Then they get arrogant, get all feisty and everything. No, that's not a good thing. For a parent to come in, parents should come in unarmed. A parent is coming as a parent. Yes, a parent is also classified as a bodyguard for their child, of course. We all know that. But you don't have to carry a weapon into the classroom or even on the school grounds. The school grounds, I know, is huge. A parent pulls up in their car, they see the kids playing, so forth and so on. There may be even a little bullying thing going on. Well, the parent would want to get into that. Now, the parent walks up to that with a weapon, concealed weapon. The child knows that there's a concealed weapon there. The child would probably try to grab their parent's gun and shoot the bully. That's why I don't believe in parents coming on the school grounds with weapons. That's just one reason. I have several others.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm sure our audience will be interested. I know I'm interested. If there are other reasons as well.
Well, it's not safe. Because parents are not taught how to really handle weapons, say as a policeman or a person in armed forces. Those people are taught how to definitely handle a weapon. I had to be taught. I was taught by some policemen, friends of mine. They took me out in the woods, took me to the ranges, took me and showed me how to handle a weapon. A gun is no toy. It's a deadly instrument. It can kill you in an instant. And it's not to be taken lightly. You don't bluff, pull a gun and bluff. I'm going to shoot you. You don't do that. I was taught that by my dad. My dad was a gun aficionado. What's the word?
Aficionado?
Yes. Thank you, there, son.
Sure.
And he had several guns. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that taught me how to shoot when I was a child. But he also taught me the right and wrong way about handling guns, acquiring guns, and what to do with them. Don't play. You don't bluff somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was taught, when you pull it, you're pulling it to shoot, just like a police officer. When he pulls his weapon, he's ready to shoot you. But that's his last resort. But a lot of people are not taught that. Is there a weapon, a gun is a weapon for protection.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you go out there and just blow somebody away just because they've made you, you know, maybe angry, a little angry or something like that. And because a wife is mad at her husband, she goes and shoot him in the back of the head while he's asleep. I don't believe in that.
Right. So parents with guns, even if they have a concealed carry permit, not a good idea.
No, not on schools.
No. Okay.
No. To me, a school is sacred. It's like a church. Those are supposed to be two of the places you're supposed to be able to go to and just be happy. They're neutral places to be, even for the good guy, the bad guy, the in-between guy and girl.
Sure.
When you go to the school and when you go to churches, you leave all that other mess behind.
Yeah, that is what it's supposed to be, true.
Right.
So then we come to possibility number four, which is banning stuff. Well, there's possibility number five, of course, which is don't change anything. What do you think of possibility number four?
Of banning certain weapons?
Yeah, banning certain firearms. Right now, there's a push on to ban something called assault weapons, which are basically semi-automatic rifles, which are capable of accepting magazines of various capacities, from, say, 5 to 30 or 40.
Well, I believe there should be a ban on that, and I'll tell you why. Everybody can't handle a gun. You have to be taught, and taught well, and you have to be a good student to learn how to handle a gun. A gun is no toy. Just because you go da-da-da-da-da-da-da like you did when you were a kid, and you had a play gun, and you can make those sounds verbally, you've been playing, da-da-da-da-da, see, I got you, da-da-da-da-da. No, that's not what it is when it comes to real life, now you're handling a real weapon. It's not a cap gun.
No, it's not. It's got real bullets.
Right, right, real bullets in it that can penetrate your body and take your life. So, yes, there should be regulations on that, too. And before something, an assault type of weapon is sold to a person, they should be well educated. And then they're tested again before they're allowed to own that. That means now that you own it, you've been tested, so we trust you with the weapon. It's bad enough that you can walk and just buy a revolver or a handgun, but an assault weapon, Boy, oh boy.
Now, I suppose we should go into what an assault weapon actually is. In your mind, what is an assault weapon?
It's an extremely highly powered weapon that can wipe out several people with just standing there holding the trigger. Because it goes... It's an automatic weapon. And you don't know who you're hitting. You don't know where... Those guns are good for warfare, for the military, the soldiers, the army, navy, the marines, our complete armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But that's a year of war.
Sure.
And you're being attacked with the same thing, so you've got to have the same thing to protect yourself. But just for normal, everyday people, no. We don't need assault weapons in the family home.
Okay, now you're talking basically here about machine guns.
Right.
Okay. How about those that look like them but don't actually go?
If it looks like it, you're going to get the same credit. Because if it looks like it, who's going to walk up to the gun and say, hey, walk up to it and say, hey, can I see your gun? Is it an assault weapon or is it not before you shoot me? Nobody's going to do that. So therefore, yes, my feelings are they should be restricted.
Okay. We will take a short break for station identification, and we will be right back with my dad, Terrell Sr.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under sources.
Okay, we are back. We are here with Dad. And we're talking about this notion of assault weapons. We just got through talking about how, for example, a machine gun, you know, those that go, those should be restricted. And possibly also those even that look like it, because you're going to get the same credit. Well, now I've got a question for you about that. Isn't that similar to, say, putting restrictions on aftermarket body kits for cars if they make it look like a race car? You know, like they used to do with the Volkswagens and such?
Yes, yes. Well, those were fun days when you did that. That was a hobby people did. But we're talking about somebody's life now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole completely different story than a car that you just, you know, make up and have a little fun with. And after you have your fun with it, you're done with it. You know, I mean, you may just keep it as a momentum or, you know, something like that. But an assault weapon is nothing to play with.
Now, assault weapon, are we talking machine guns or are we talking those that just look like them?
Either or, because if it looks like it, to me it is. I can't tell the difference just by looking at it. You can't tell the difference by just looking at it, can you, son?
No, not unless I get a good look at it.
Okay, then. Now, who's going to let you get up that close to look at their weapon and they're going to be trying to shoot at you? Duh, I don't think so.
Well, of course, even if it's the semi-automatic version, they're going to be shooting at me anyway if they want to shoot me.
This is true.
Regardless of what it is. I mean, it's if they're shooting at me with a revolver, if they're shooting at me with one of the semi-auto pistols or a Remington 700 deer hunting rifle, they're still shooting at me.
I understand. But see, there's a difference. You can see that. Some of those guns, you can see the difference. But you were talking about assault rifle type of guns now. Mm-hmm. And the ones that look like, and the ones that are, and the ones that are not, but they look alike. So, you know, if it looks like it, old school, I mean, you know, Dad's old school. If it looks like it, then it is.
Now, that is interesting. I guess I'm still wondering what the difference would be between someone shooting at you. This is, I guess, where I'm having a little trouble distinguishing the difference. No matter what it is, if a bullet's coming at me, I'm not going to like it.
Right.
Be it one of these AR-15s or even a real M16. That's the fully automatic version, the Army version.
Yes.
Or if it's Bill Clinton's deer rifle. It turns out Bill Clinton's deer rifle operates as the same basic internal operation as one of these semi-automatic AR-15s. You pull the trigger once, bullet comes out. Pull the trigger once, bullet comes out. So you could go boom, 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 like that.
Well, son, you don't know until they fire at you. As I said... Till you see the white of their eyes.
Yeah.
But you don't know until someone fires. Now, as I said before, they're not going to let you walk up there and take inventory of the gun that they can wait to shoot you with. So you don't have any choice. That's why I said the rifles should be restricted.
Okay.
See, to me, old school. If it looks like it, then it is.
Okay. Okay.
See? If it looks like an egg, then it is an egg.
Gotcha. All right. Now, you've had experience with firearms since you were a kid, you know, with Grandpa.
Yes.
Now, one of the ones that you shot was, what, the 3840 back
yes.
in the day?
Yes.
Yeah.
I shot that. I shot the regular Winchesters. I shot the 410s, mm-hmm. shotguns, and he would take me and show me how to use them. And in safe place, of course. He never took me hunting with him.
Hmm.
He says, I don't want somebody to mistake you for an animal, so they say, and then I would really have to kill them.
Yeah.
And me, well, his buddies all laughed and say, You're right, Hammer. Well, that was his nickname, Hammer. Mm-hmm. He was the original Hammer.
Right.
He said, "You're right, Hammer." So it was, you know, the boys that would have a little laugh about it. But he never took me hunting with him. He just showed me the firearms because he had several of them around, and he wanted me to know what they were about and how to handle them. He never allowed me to handle one if he wasn't present. If mm-hmm. he came around and I even was leaning up against or had my hand on one, he'd whack my butt. Bop. Didn't I tell you, leave that alone? You don't do that? I said, "Yes, sir."
Oh, that reminds me of a story you told me regarding one of the, what was it, a shotgun?
Yeah.
And how you were playing around with it. And why don't you tell us what happened with that?
You go ahead and tell us, son.
Okay. Hey, I get to tell my dad here for a moment. Well, you told me about a situation in which you had one of his shotguns, and you nearly blew off the toes of your foot with it.
Yeah, it blew through the door. Almost shot my toes of my foot, and it blew through the bottom of the door. I was sitting down playing with it there in the house. I had no business doing it, but I had pulled the hammer back, and it slipped. Boom. I guess I accidentally pulled the trigger too at the same time, but it was just by the grace of the good Lord I didn't blow my foot off.
Yeah,
but it blew through the bottom of the door. Oh yes, I was punished for that.
I'm sure. Oh yeah,
but and I was restricted from handling any type of firearms for a long time after that.
I would imagine so.
And but then he sat me down and talked to me and told me and taught me things. This is before I was taught how to handle a weapon that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been an accident, but I would have had no foot.
Right.
So that's when he showed it there. After that, he sat down and started talking to me and teaching me and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm. The childhood fascination with guns. As so many children have.
That's another thing that we were talking about earlier, too. Like having guns in families.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And children knowing where the guns are
mm-hmm.
is very, very dangerous. Because a child doesn't know. You may tell him, this is a weapon. 5-6-year-old kid don't know that. Don't know the difference between that and a play calf gun that he may be having. And so forth and so on. So he go get the real, they think it's a toy. And boom, that has happened, where a child has killed someone, a parent even, accidentally.
And yeah, we've read about that, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want that. And parents are relaxed with their weapons because they feel they're at home, which is supposed to be safe at home.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of parents don't lock their weapons up. I can understand why they wouldn't lock them up. Because if you need it immediately for burglars trying to break in your house, do you have time to find the key or do the combination lock and open it up and then load it? And then the burglar's already in there then and got you backed up or maybe shot you. So it's a situation you've got to know where to keep the guns where they'll be handy for you but out of the child's reach. A lot of people put them up in the closets up in the upper section where you put your hats and your shoes in the higher section of the closets.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do that. And that seems to be working out. Because child, he can't climb up. Even if he gets on a chair, he can't reach it.
Mm-hmm.
So
not the little kids. Yeah.
Yeah, not the little kids. So that seems to be one of the nice places. If you don't have any children living with you, then you can put them wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have children, you got to be very, very careful of where you have your firearms. And I recommend that highly. Because, son, as you were growing up, yes, I had weapons all the time.
Sure.
But they were not where you had total accessibility to them. So until you were quite an adult young man.
Hmm.
And I could sit down and talk to you about it and show them to you and so forth and so on. So that's my recommendation for that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. One thing you never did with me growing up was you never hid anything from me.
No, because once you hide something from your child, I want to see it. What is it? I want to know what it is. Now, why are you hiding something from your child? You don't need to. Show it to them, explain it to them, says, now, don't touch that. If you touch that, you might get a little spanking.
Yeah.
And the child understands that. Mm-hmm. We laugh and joke about it, but everybody understands it, and it's a done deal. But you sit down and tell the child why. My dad sat me down and explained everything to me, and I love and appreciate it, and I passed that on to you, son. I sat you down, told you where everything was. There's no need to hide something. You're an intelligent young man.
That is true. I knew where they were. Mm-hmm. Now, in my case, I was scared to touch them because I don't know what sense I had instilled in me somehow, just innately, in addition to, you know, the two of you. I knew there was a cap gun, but then I knew there were the real guns that could actually kill someone.
Yes.
So I thought, oh, man, nah, I don't want to touch those.
Well, no, you were taught the difference between life and death. So I'd never hid anything from because I didn't want to hide. There was nothing to hide.
Yeah.
You're my son. Mm-hmm. And it was my obligation to teach you right and raise you right and raise you with a sense of responsibility, which you do have.
Now here I am, of all things, a range master.
Right.
Now, enforcing firearm safety professionally.
Yes.
So apparently it worked well.
That was my intention.
Mm-hmm. Well, it worked out all right. Yeah, you did it. We'll take a short break for station ID, and we'll be right back with this discussion. Stay tuned.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership, gunrightsradio.com.
Okay, we are back. Cowboy T and Mr. Cowboy T, if you will, the original Cowboy T, my dad. We're talking about issues regarding guns and the Second Amendment and regulations and caution. Basically the whole gamut of things. He's been gracious enough to spend some time here on the Liberals Gun Corner, and I appreciate him for that. Now, as you as you got older and you started traveling around the country, I know that just because of the stories that you've told me, you've run into some situations in which you've had to defend yourself.
Yes, because when I came out as an entertainer, it was a few years ago when prejudice was still very, very strong throughout our nation and country. And traveling, I had to protect myself, so I acquired firearms and I registered them with the police department, as I was instructed to do. And so therefore I was allowed to carry my weapons with me. I was given permit to carry in some states. In some states, if you had a permit then from another state, you could come through their state if you were traveling through, you know. So I was able to carry for several years. It worked out very, very, very well for me in a couple of occasions because I never had to actually use the gun, but I had it for protection. That was a situation presented to me that I was... I would have been able to do that if I had to do it. I'm glad I never had to do it.
Mm, me too. One of the situations I like to use in describing the need for self-defense is the one where those three fellows with those knives came at you.
Yeah.
And you persuaded them to perhaps take up a nicer profession.
Yeah.
And nobody got hurt.
This is true.
Everyone walked away, and you walked to your car and went about your business.
Yeah, I had a few incidences like that, but that was during the days, I said, when it was very prejudiced, and I was traveling through certain states, and they didn't know me as an entertainer. They just saw me as a black man. But I got to the clubs or the hotels I was working in, and people began to like me as an entertainer. That soon faded away, and I was accepted as a nice guy and one of the entertainers and one of the boys. And the proof of that is I still call it the redneck country, but I'm saying it now as a joke.
Of course.
But those boys up there, as we all know, they don't play.
No, they don't.
And they liked me. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the very few black men that was liked, and they liked me for several reasons. I minded my own business. didn't try to get into their business. And they liked me for that. And they would invite me then to the Saturday afternoon barbecues. And things. So I had some wonderful times with those guys. And especially the biker boys. Oh, you know, they're rough too.
Oh, yeah.
But I got along swell with them. And I just had a beautiful life with these people because, you know, it's not what you do. It's the way you do it. It's the attitude you have when you go there. Mm-hmm. And if you go there with a chip on your shoulder, it shows automatically. But if you go there with an open mind and say, hey, I'm just here to play the music for you. Mm-hmm. Will you accept me? And you don't even have to say it, but you act it. And we all know actions speak louder than words.
True.
And those people, they're not crazy. They may be rednecks because we tease and call them that, but they're far from crazy. There's some very, very highly intelligent people up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what's going on. And I was treated, eventually I was treated just like one of them, you know, one of the boys.
Well, you've always been able to break down racial barriers throughout the years. I mean, from your time at the Fairmont Hotel, which I've mentioned on the show previously to folks, all the way to being kind of sort of Martin Luther King in Las Vegas again.
Well, you know, it's not what you do, it's the way you do it.
Yeah.
If I went in with a chip on my shoulder, then I'd be two negatives against my own self. But if you go in neutral, and listen, I say, let's see what happens. And just go in neutral and be yourself. People look at that because you're not creating it. I'm not creating anything negative.
Right.
And then I'm coming in as a musician. Most jazz musicians, I'll say the jazz because that's a venue I came up through and my career is around that. Although I started out as a classical musician.
Sure.
But, and I played every kind of music that you can name, classical, blues, everything you can think of. And I work with so many artists. Well, it's not who I know, it's who don't I know.
Right.
But jazz music, when I came to my generations, was neutral music. It was loved around the world, especially from a black musician.
Still is.
And if you can play it and play it good, then everything became neutral. There were no more color barriers. There's no more the N-words. There's no more this, that. Hey, that's my man. That's, hey, man. And the lady would come up and say hi. I said, thank you very much.
And
it's a situation that playing the jazz opened a lot of doors for me. And when I was traveling throughout, I've been around, made 22 world tours, but and going in all these various countries, you learn the number one songs of the country that you're going into.
Mm-hmm.
And then you learn and you play that for them.
Right.
And they love you because it means now that you respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And that you care about them. And then they would want to come up and sit in with me and this and that. I said, definitely, come on up here. And they get up there and not the whole crowd. You can't separate yourself and go out to 10,000 people or more. You've got to be the magnet, create yourself as a magnet and have them drawn to you as
sure.
the entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I did in my life and career. That's why I was so successful.
Yeah. And I'd say one aspect of that success is that you never did have to pull the trigger.
No, fortunately, I never did.
Thank goodness.
Right.
Now, that leads me to the notion of registration. I've told folks on the show, you and I do happen to have different beliefs on that particular point. I've already expressed mine on the show in previous episodes. I'd like for folks here to get yours on the idea of registering a firearm.
Well, differences of opinion is something that's fair with people because that's why we have a color red, and that's why we have a color green and color blue. Just difference of opinion. But you put them together, and they come out with new colors that everybody loves. Now, registering your firearm, yes, I definitely believe in it wholeheartedly that all firearms should be registered. Because you've got to know where they come from originally in the event that there is a crime committed or in case that maybe the person will say lost. You don't lose guns, but I've heard that you hear excuses like that. But they're giving them away or somebody took it or this or whatever excuse they come up with for not having it. It can be traced back to the original situation of purchase, manufacture, and then that can help go on to find whoever may be owning the gun or the culprit that has it now. So I believe in, yes, I believe in registering all firearms.
Okay. Now, there is a concern that some, including myself, have with that, and that is the notion of possible confiscation, like what happened in California with a certain type of rifle called the SKS.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
That was an unfortunate situation because, to me, government at that time was playing games with the residents. And you don't play games with people. And especially when it comes down to firearms. Because people buy firearms. The average person, a good person, citizen, buys a firearm for protection. He's not buying a firearm to go out and rob you and kill you just on GP and all that stuff. They're buying it for protection for themselves and for their families. And they should be allowed that.
Any ideas on, suppose we were to go for registration, say nationwide registration like the states, like some states do individually, like California. Virginia, turns out, does not. Any ways that you can see to, say, address the concerns that you pointed out, being able to trace back a gun used in a crime with making sure that confiscatory actions don't happen?
Well, the state I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to register your gun there. And I think it's okay. I don't see anything wrong with it because they know where the gun is. Now, if a burglar were to break in my home and steal my gun while I'm not there, it's automatically reported to the police department. They trace that. They know that I don't have it anymore, but now they can trace the gun because when you fire it, there's a proof of firing. The bullets are
you're talking about the rifling engraves the bullet?
Right.
Yeah.
And these TV shows they've got out now, this CSI stuff, it's taught people, if they watch it, that they can trace these guns now. And they can find these weapons and find the culprit that has your weapon. Even if it comes down to them trying to erase the serial numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of my questions.
Because that's embedded into the material. Years ago, they couldn't do that. But now they've got chemicals and machines now that can go in, and they can read the serial numbers, even though they've been erased off the surface. But they can go in, and I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So is there any way to avoid the confiscatory thing, though? Can we...
You mean registering your guns?
Yeah, like what happened in California.
Well, yes.
Yeah, I see your point about tracing back guns to crime, yeah.
Yes, yeah. But the people have to let themselves be heard and be definite and don't be wishy-washy. They got to be very, very definite in what they say and what they do and stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they do that, then I think everything will work out just fine for the people in California.
So, basically, we the people need to do our jobs.
That's right. It says in the Constitution, we the people.
It does, doesn't it? Okay, folks, you have heard it. We have had a, I would say, very interesting, I hope you agree, conversation with someone considerably older than I and who's had a lot more life experience than I. Now, as we mentioned before on the show, he and I don't agree on everything. But that's kind of the point of being here on the Liberals Gun Corner, is it's not every idea that's mine that's going to get presented here. Even if we agree or disagree, it's like my dad said. That's why we have red, and then we have, what was it, blue?
Green.
Green, okay.
And then blue.
And blue, yep, and you get the various colors out of it. And who knows? Maybe there is room for discussion. That's a conversation that we need to have. Whether we agree with it or not, we need to have that conversation. So thank you all for listening. This is Cowboy T and Terrell Sr. signing off. Until future episodes, until then, safe shooting. Thanks for listening, and Dad, thank you for being here.
Son, thank you very much for having Dad, and I love you very, 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 very much. You're my number one son, and I'll always love you forever.
I love you too, Dad.